Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I'd been living with David on his family's old dairy farm for about 6 months. The property sat on 40 acres of pasture and woods, with the nearest neighbor almost 3 miles down a gravel road. It was a Thursday in late October. We were having dinner on the couch and watching some documentary about deep sea creatures, when suddenly the dog started barking, that throaty warning they usually saved for coyotes or strangers. David muted the TV, and we sat there listening. The barking continued, focused on the front of the house. I heard boots crunching on gravel outside, coming up the long driveway. I got up and looked through the window. Our porch light was on, but the driveway curved behind a row of cedar trees, so I couldn't see who was approaching. The dogs were going crazy now, scratching at the door. David grabbed his phone and pulled up the security camera app. We'd installed two cameras after a string of rural break-ins this previous summer. The front camera showed a man walking toward the house. He was tall and wearing a dark jacket and jeans. His hands were in his pockets, and his head was down like he was deep in thought. He stopped about 20 feet from the porch and stood there without looking up or calling out. After maybe 30 seconds, he started walking again and climbed up the steps slowly before stopping in front of the door. I stayed by the window, trying to see his face, but he was standing at an angle where the porch light only caught his profile. David walked to the door, but didn't open it. He called through asking if he could help. The man didn't answer right away. But when he did, his voice sounded almost bored. He said he was looking for the Hendersons. David told him nobody by that name lived there. The man asked if he was sure and said it used to be their place. David explained we'd been there for 6 months, but the man neither responded nor made any move to leave. David asked if he needed direction somewhere. The man didn't answer, but we could see him move closer until he was maybe a foot from the door. We watched him put his hand on the doorknob.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
David immediately told him to step back. The man didn't move at first, then quietly, almost like he was talking to himself, he said he thought he smelled chili. My blood went cold. The kitchen window had been open earlier for steam. I'd closed it after dinner, but the smell could have drifted out. David's voice got harder, and he told the man he was asking him to leave, right now. The man finally stepped back, but instead of walking down the steps, he moved to the side toward the window where I was standing. I jerked away from the glass. David called 911, and while he was talking to the dispatcher, I pulled up the camera app on my phone. The man was standing at the side of the house now, looking up the second floor windows. The dispatcher said a deputy was on the way, but was 20 minutes out. I kept watching the camera feed. The man walked around the back of the house, disappeared from view, then reappeared on the other side. He was circling the property slowly, like he was looking for something. David grabbed the shotgun from the closet, but didn't load it. He just held it in case. The dogs were still whining and pacing between us and the door. The man came back to the front porch and climbed the steps again. He knocked the same 3 times. David didn't answer. The man tried the doorknob, and it rattled but didn't turn. We'd locked it after the first knock. He tried it again, harder this time, jiggling it like he was testing how secure it was. Then he stopped, stood there for a moment, and walked down the steps. I thought he was leaving, but when I checked the camera, he wasn't heading toward the driveway. He was walking toward the barn where a truck was parked. We kept tools and equipment out there, and the side door didn't lock properly. David called the dispatcher back and told her the man was still on the property. She said the deputy was 10 minutes out. We watched the camera feed as the man disappeared into the barn. He was in there for maybe 2 minutes. When he came back out, he was carrying something long, like a pipe or a piece of wood. He walked back toward the house. David unlocked the door, stepped out onto the porch, and raised the shotgun without pointing it at the man. He told him he had the sheriff on the phone and a loaded gun, and he needed to get off the property now. The man stepped about 15 feet away. He looked at David, then at the gun. He sat down whatever he was carrying, and it clattered against the gravel. Then he turned around and walked down the driveway slowly, at the same pace as when he'd come up. David and I stood on the porch until the deputy arrived. The officer searched the property and found what the man had been carrying. It was a tire iron from our barn. No footprints or tire marks were leading away from the property besides the driveway. Nothing explained how he had gotten there or where he'd gone. The deputy took a report and told us to keep an eye out. That night, David and I didn't sleep. We sat in the living room with every light on, watching the security cameras. Around 3 in the morning, the motion sensor on the front camera triggered. A figure was standing at the end of the driveway. Too far away to make out details, but I could see the shape of a person watching the house. David grabbed his phone to call the sheriff again, but by the time they arrived, the figure was gone. We moved out 2 months later. We told people it was for work, for a shorter commute, but the truth was, we couldn't stay. I was supposed to stay at my sister Sarah's cattle farm for 2 nights while she and her husband drove to Denver for their daughter's emergency surgery. It wasn't anything major, and I'd done it before, so I kind of knew the routine stuff. The farm sat about 8 miles outside of town with nothing but pasture and tree lines in every direction. There was only one gravel road in and out. Thankfully, Sarah had recently gotten security cameras installed after some equipment went missing from a neighbor's property the year before, so I wasn't worried. The first evening went exactly as planned. I fed the cattle around 6, locked the equipment shed, and let Ranger, their German shepherd, roam the property like he always did. After dinner, I settled on the couch with a book and some country music humming low in the background. The night felt peaceful until suddenly nearly all the cattle started bawling. I checked the clock. It was 15 past midnight. I stood up and looked out the window toward the pasture, but everything was just shadows moving against the fence line. I pulled up the camera feed on my phone. The front pasture was the usual darkness and grass moving in the wind. I flipped through the screens, but everything looked perfect except for Ranger was missing from all the frames. I called for him. He always came when called, but this time he didn't. I called his name over and over, but he still didn't show up. After about 10 minutes, dread started to crawl up into my chest. Ranger didn't wander off. He was trained and knew this property better than I did. I grabbed a flashlight in my jacket and headed outside. The air was cold with wind cutting through the open pasture. I walked toward the barn, scanning for Ranger, expecting to find him cornered by a coyote or caught in some fence wire. Instead, I found the back pasture gate wide open and stopped dead in my tracks. I latched the gate myself 2 hours ago. I was certain. But standing there in the cold, doubt crept in. Maybe I'd rushed it. Maybe I hadn't pushed it all the way closed, and the wind had done the rest. I walked over and shut it properly this time, hooking the chain through twice. The cattle were still restless, moving in tight circles near the tree line. Something had spooked them. Back inside, I locked the door and sat down, trying to shake the feeling that something was off. I checked the camera feed again. The back pasture camera was working fine now. The front one showed nothing but an empty driveway, but I could hear the faint metal clanking coming from near the equipment shed. I went into Sarah's room and grabbed her old baseball bat from the corner of the closet. It felt stupid in my hands, but I took it anyway. I slid open the patio door and stepped outside. The wind had died down, and everything was too quiet now. Even the cattle had gone silent. But there was unmistakable movement from two directions at once. I could hear the crunch of footsteps in the grass to my left, and something scraping metal to my right. I crept closer to the edge and strained my ears to listen closely. There was a soft hum of an engine, stifling low whispers. I immediately dropped down behind the patio railing, heart pounding, and stayed still. From there, I could see the pasture near the tree line where two figures were moving through it. One of them opened a gate I hadn't even noticed was unlatched. The cattle started moving through it, quiet and orderly, like they'd been guided that way before. I caught headlights for a split second. A truck was parked back in the trees just beyond the fence line. The lights flicked on, then off. It looked like a signal. My stomach dropped. I started backing away slowly. My hands were shaking so badly I almost dropped the bat. I was only a couple of feet away from the door when I stepped on a branch. It cracked loud enough to echo across the pasture. Both their heads snapped in my direction. I peeped out and screamed. One of them had swung an axe up from the ground. The other followed his gaze and locked onto my hiding spot. A single word, alive, passed between them as they broke into a run. Without thinking, I bolted for the house. Behind me, I heard them pick up speed, boots pounding against the ground. I could hear them getting closer. I made it through the patio door and slammed it shut, fumbling with the lock. My hands were shaking so bad that I almost couldn't turn it. The second I got it locked, someone grabbed the handle from the outside and yanked hard. The door rattled violently in its frame. I stumbled backward and heard footsteps moving around the house. They were testing the windows. The back door handle jiggled. A window in the kitchen rattled. I called 911 with my hands shaking so bad I could barely hold the phone. I told the dispatcher that there were men on the property trying to get inside the house. She said deputies were on the way, 20 minutes out. I grabbed Sarah's bat, sat on the bathroom floor, watching the camera feeds. My heart was pounding in my chest. I was literally sobbing and praying that the cops would show up before it was too late. The men had stopped trying the doors and the windows. There were three of them, and they were standing in the driveway now, talking. One kept looking at the house as if he'd been waiting for word of approval to barge in. Another was on his phone and kept nodding. He disconnected the call, said something to his friends, and they started walking away. Maybe who was ever on the side had called him back. But then the one eyeing the house stopped, picked up a stone, and hurled it in the living room window. His friends laughed and dragged him away. By the time I heard sirens in the distance, they'd disappeared into the tree line. Ranger came back an hour after the deputies arrived. He was shaking and wouldn't let me touch him for a while. A patch on his side had been shaved. The deputies searched the property with flashlights. They found cut fencing hidden behind brush near the tree line and fresh tracks running across the back pasture. When we counted the cattle, two were missing. The lead officer took notes and asked questions. He said it looked like a livestock theft. Probably professionals. He told me they'd try their best, but his face said it all. Sarah sold the cattle 6 months later. She leased the land out to a neighbor and never restocked. We didn't talk about that night much, but I knew it changed something for her. I haven't stayed overnight in the farm since. I just can't without reliving that night again. I still wake up to nightmares sometimes. In them, the caller permits them to break in. And instead of them walking away, they barge in. I agreed to watch my uncle's farm for 3 nights while he drove to Montana for a legal hearing. The property sat 12 miles outside of town, encompassing 90 acres of pasture and livestock pens, along with the main house and a few outbuildings. My younger cousin Emma and Grandma Helen were staying with me, which meant I had to be responsible. The first evening was routine. I fed the goats and the chickens. Emma checked the cattle while Grandma sat in the living room, working on a crossword puzzle. By 11, I finished my rounds, double-checked the gates, and went inside. Just as I bolted the door, the chickens fluttered in their coop.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com, SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The goats bleated in short bursts, and the cattle shifted in their pen. But the animals did that sometimes. They could have sensed a coyote or a fox circling the pens. So, I stood at the kitchen window and scanned the tree line, but could hardly see past 10 meters in the dark. I flipped on the yard lights, flooding the space between the house and the outbuildings. The animals started to calm. That's when I heard footsteps on gravel, coming from the far edge of the property near the fence line. I froze and listened. The footsteps were careful and unhurried. My chest tightened. I waited, hoping they'd pass by. Maybe someone was cutting through and didn't realize this was private land. But when even after 5 minutes, they were still there, I decided to make my presence known and scare them off. I stepped onto the porch, turned on the floodlights that lit up the driveway and the front pasture, and banged hard on the railing with my fist. I yelled that the property was occupied and the sheriff had been called. The footsteps stopped. The property fell silent again. I stood there for a few minutes scanning the darkness beyond the lights. When nothing moved, I went back inside and locked the door. Emma was still in her room, and Grandma was asleep on the couch. I told myself it worked, and whatever it was had left. But 10 minutes later, I saw movement again. A figure was standing at the very edge of the floodlight, just where the brightness faded into shadow. He was tall and as still as a statue. I stepped closer to the window with my heart pounding. The figure shifted slightly, then disappeared back into the darkness. I grabbed my phone and pulled up the security camera app. The camera near the driveway showed nothing. The one by the barn had a clear view of the pasture, but it was empty. I switched back to the window, but everything seemed fine. 5 minutes later, the figure reappeared near the livestock pen, closer to the house than before. They stood just long enough to be seen, then vanished. My hands were shaking. This wasn't someone cutting through, or someone lost. They were circling the property to test and watch. Over the next 20 minutes, the figure appeared 4 more times, each time a different angle and closer. And each appearance happened after I moved inside or turned off a light, or stepped away from the window. They knew where I was without ever getting close enough to see inside clearly. I realized with cold certainty that they were mapping my reactions. I grabbed my uncle's rifle from the closet and made sure it was loaded. I woke up Emma and told her to take Grandma into the back bedroom. I locked them in and told them not to come out until I said so. Emma asked what was happening, but I just told her to stay in there and not to open the door. I called our nearest neighbor, Bill, who lived about 2 miles down the road. He answered on the third ring, sounding groggy. I told him someone was on the property walking around and not leaving. His voice sharpened. He asked if I had a weapon. I said yes and told him I needed him to come over. He said he was on his way and told me to lock the doors and not to go outside. I called 911 next and told the dispatcher everything. She said a deputy was on the way, 15 minutes out. I positioned myself in the living room where I could see 3 different windows. The rifle sat across my lap, and every light in the house was on now. The figure appeared again near the livestock gate, standing in full view under the floodlights. I could see them clearly now. They were of average height and were wearing dark clothes. Their face were obscured by a hood. They stood completely still with their head tilted slightly toward the house, like they were listening. In the distance, I heard sirens. The figure didn't move or react, just stood there staring at the house. Then slowly, they turned and walked back toward the tree line. By the time the deputy's car pulled into the driveway, the figure was gone. 2 deputies searched the property with flashlights. They found multiple sets of footprints in the gravel circling the house, the barn, and the livestock pens. The gate latch to the goat pen had been loosened, but not open. 1 deputy took photos while the other asked questions I couldn't answer. He asked if they said anything or tried to approach the house. I told him no, they just watched. The deputy exchanged a glance with his partner and said it was probably someone casing the property who saw I was home and decided it wasn't worth it. But that didn't feel right. If they were just casing the place, why'd they make themselves visible? Bill arrived 20 minutes later and stayed the night on the couch with his shotgun across his knees. Emma and Grandma didn't sleep. Neither did I. We left the next morning. My uncle came back 2 days early when I told him what happened. He hired private security for the property after he sold most of the livestock within the year. I haven't been back since. What still gives me nightmares isn't the fear that they could have broken in. It's the certainty that my warning didn't scare them away. On anything, it confirmed my presence and showed them where I stood, what I'd do, and how long it took me to react if they really broke in.
Sophie, Marcus, Jade, and I had traveled to rural France for a wedding photography project that New Year's Eve. The ceremony was held at a chateau about 2 hours outside Lyon. The place was stunning, with limestone walls, ancient shutters, and grounds that stretched into vineyards and forest. The wedding wrapped up by evening. Most guests left for their hotels, but our plans fell apart.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
The small inn we'd booked canceled on us that afternoon, and by the time we tried finding something else, everything nearby was either fully booked or couldn't accommodate four people on short notice. Sophie mentioned the situation to the groom, Lauren, who'd had a few drinks and was feeling generous enough to offer an overnight stay at the chateau. He said we could use the sitting rooms and guest areas on the ground floor, but had to stay out of the east wing on the second floor, specifically the king's room. It was off limits, he explained. Part of the building's history that they preferred to keep undisturbed. Sophie looked it up later and found a local legend about how a French king had been betrayed and murdered in that room centuries ago. Since then, it's remained sealed. The chateau marketed it as a part of the building's historical mystique. To me, it sounded like typical folklore that every old building in Europe claims to have. We thanked Lauren, watched him leave with the last of the staff, and settled in for the night. By 10 o'clock, we had the entire chateau to ourselves. Jade opened a bottle of wine from the cellar as we set up our laptops in the main sitting room to review the wedding photos and let ourselves relax. Midnight came and went. We toasted with champagne Marcus had found in the kitchen, took some photos on the stone terrace under the stars. By 1 in the morning, Marcus was half asleep on one of the couches. Jade was scrolling through her phone while Sophie and I were sorting memory cards and packing up our gear. Suddenly, a loud, heavy bang echoed from somewhere above us so hard Marcus nearly fell over, while I flinched. Before we could figure anything out, another bang echoed through the building, followed by a dragging sound, like something heavy being pulled across a floor. Sophie pointed out it was coming from upstairs. But the chateau had been empty for hours, and we were supposed to be alone. Jade suggested maybe someone had come back, but there was no car in the driveway. We checked the front entrance, but it too was still locked from the inside, exactly how we left it. The banging continued above us from somewhere in the direction of the east wing. Marcus grabbed a flashlight from his camera bag and suggested we check it out. None of us wanted to, but it felt better than sitting downstairs all night listening to those sounds. We moved through the ground floor first, checking every room and closet. Everything was as it should be. But the moment we reached the main staircase, the banging stopped. We stood at the base of the stairs, unsure whether to go any further. Marcus didn't want to. He reminded us that Lauren had been very clear about the east wing being off limits. Jade argued that we had to check anyway, because if something went missing, it would be on us. I said that it was probably just some old pipes settling in the building. The chateau's lighting was minimal at night, with just a few wall sconces casting long, uneven shadows. We climbed the stairs slowly. The second floor opened into a long corridor lined with doors to guest rooms and storage. At the far end, barely visible in the dim light, stood a heavier door with iron fixtures. It had to be the king's room. Instead of going all the way down, we stopped maybe 20 feet from it, close enough to see that the door was shut with the iron bolt to cross it, looking rather undisturbed, but there were unmistakable movements inside. We could hear the soft footsteps padding across the wooden floor. My mouth felt parched and my palms were sweaty. Someone was in there, and he wanted us to know it, because the next second, we twisted the doorknob so hard the whole frame rattled. Sophie shrieked and nearly fell as we turned and bolted, skipping steps but never slowing down to check who. We made it to the ground floor and into a sitting room, slamming the door and locking it behind us. We spent the rest of the night in that room, barely speaking, jumping at every creak of the old building. Marcus wanted to call the police, but we didn't know what we'd even say. Besides, Lauren had already warned us. We decided to wait until the staff returned. Dawn came slowly. By 7, we heard vehicles pulling up outside. The chateau was coming back to life. We met the staff in the main hall, two women who managed the property, and an older man who served as caretaker. We told them what we heard. The two women exchanged a glance before one of them told us how the king's room had been opened 3 weeks ago for restoration work. The historical society wanted to document the interior before sealing it again.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The woman explained that the workers had reported problems like missing tools and displaced equipment that had been left overnight. One of the workers claimed to hear footsteps in the corridor when the building was locked. I asked if they caught anyone. She shook her head. No theft had been officially reported. The workers refused to continue, so the room was resealed. My blood went cold. Marcus asked if that meant someone had been in there the night before. The woman didn't answer directly. She said they recommended we leave soon, and that they'd be conducting a thorough inspection of the property. We packed our gear in under 10 minutes and left. The chateau staff never called us with updates. We never saw any news reports about an arrest or an intruder being found either. But the lack of knowledge doesn't stop me from reliving the horror every night, and wondering exactly what we had gotten into and escaped.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.